There's a cluster of stories today that are ostensibly about very different things but share a common thread about the gap between what we intend to build and what actually emerges. The Five Cloud Services doorbell post is the funniest version of this. The author documents their smart home doorbell setup, which required 5 separate cloud services to function. One for the camera, one for the notification routing, one for authentication, one for the voice assistant integration, and a 5th for the automation logic that ties them together. When any one of those services has an outage, they don't hear their doorbell.
The post is written with good humor about the author's own choices, but the comment thread on 8chan is genuinely substantive. 166 comments debating the trade-offs between smart home convenience and reliability, the fragility of cloud-dependent consumer hardware, and the broader pattern where adding software capability to physical devices often reduces the reliability of the physical function they were designed to perform. A dumb doorbell from 1985 still works. A smart doorbell from 2023 might not.
The coordination headwind essay, "How Organizations Are Like Slime Molds," is a more formal treatment of a related phenomenon. Komorosk's piece argues that as organizations grow, they develop something analogous to the coordination overhead that slime mold colonies experience. Individual units operating on local information, pursuing locally rational goals that don't necessarily sum to globally optimal behavior. The larger the organization, the more energy gets consumed by coordination rather than production.
The slime mold analogy is useful because slime molds are genuinely fascinating at the systems level. They are simple organisms that can solve optimization problems, like finding the shortest path through a maze, but only when the colony is operating within certain size and density constraints. Komorosk's argument is that human organizations face similar structural constraints, and that much of what we experience as dysfunction in large companies is actually emergent behavior from a coordination problem that can't be fully engineered away, only managed.
The OpenClaw 2.0 accidentally post is a different kind of organizational story. OpenClaw is an AI agent framework that released version 2.0, and the accidentally in the title refers to the fact that the architectural decisions that define 2.0 emerged from debugging and patching rather than deliberate design. The team was trying to fix reliability issues in 1.0 and found that the fixes accumulated into something genuinely different from what they'd planned to build.
The comment thread on that one is 107 comments, and there's real debate about whether this is a feature or a failure of planning. Several experienced engineers argue that emergent architecture is actually more trustworthy than planned architecture, because it reflects real constraints encountered in production rather than theoretical design assumptions. Others argue that unplanned architecture creates maintainability debt that compounds over time.
The Steam Teraleak, 12 terabytes of internal Steam data covering more than a decade of PC gaming history, is significant both as a preservation story and as a data security story. The leaked data reportedly includes internal build logs, unreleased or canceled games, internal communications, and historical data about the Steam platform's development. For gaming historians, this is extraordinary primary source material.
The security dimension is more troubling. 12 terabytes is not a small exfiltration. This required either sustained access to Valve's internal systems or a catastrophic single event. The Ars Technica piece covers both angles, and the 8chan comments include several people with software industry experience speculating about the likely vector. The gaming industry has always been a target for leaks because of the entertainment value of unreleased content. But the scale of this one suggests something more systematic than a disgruntled employee with a USB drive.
The "I Just Chose Words Carefully" essay, scoring 862 points and 218 comments, is philosophically interesting in this context. It's an essay about deliberate language choice in technical writing, arguing that precision in how we describe systems, processes, and decisions shapes how we think about them. The post discusses how imprecise technical language, saying the system just needs to or it should be easy to, obscures real complexity and creates shared misunderstanding that produces exactly the kinds of failures we see in the other stories today.
I think that's right. And it connects to the Haiku R1 Beta 6 release in an unexpected way. Haiku, the open source continuation of BOS, released its 6th beta for version R1, and the release notes document years of careful, precise engineering work toward a specific vision of what an operating system should be. The Haiku project is remarkable for its consistency of purpose across more than two decades of development. They're not trying to be Linux, they're not trying to be Windows. They're trying to be BOS done right, and the precision of that goal has helped the project avoid the kind of scope creep that kills most volunteer OS projects.
Now let's turn that analytical lens on ourselves. We've been discussing diffusion language models as a serious alternative to autoregressive transformers. The ML community on 8chan has been increasingly bullish on this, and we want to spend some time genuinely stress testing that consensus.
The confident claim is this: diffusion language models represent a fundamentally superior architecture for text generation because they can plan globally before committing to local token choices, unlike autoregressive models, which must commit to each token sequentially. The implication is that CDLM family architectures will eventually displace transformers in the same way transformers displaced RNNs.
What needs to be true for that claim to be right? You need the continuous embedding space diffusion process to translate into genuinely better text quality at scale. You need training efficiency to improve enough that the additional complexity is justified. And you need the decoding process to remain tractable as context length grows.
Here's where I'd push back. The planning globally advantage is real in theory, but we don't yet have strong empirical evidence that it translates to better outputs on the tasks users actually care about. Autoregressive models also have implicit planning mechanisms through their attention layers. They don't look ahead in token generation, but they have sophisticated representations of likely future context embedded in how they weight current inputs. We don't know how much of the planning advantage story is theoretical versus measurable in practice.
The deeper assumption I'd question is the comparison to the transformer displacing RNN transition. That transition happened partly because transformers parallelized better on available hardware. Diffusion models for text currently require many iterative refinement steps for each output, which means inference is slower, sometimes dramatically so, than autoregressive generation. The hardware landscape is optimized for transformer-style computation. Diffusion models require a different optimization profile.
And there's a historical pattern worth noting. Architectural alternatives to the dominant paradigm in deep learning regularly show promise at small scale and fail to close the gap at frontier scale. Mixture of experts was going to displace dense models. State space models like Mamba were going to displace attention. Both made meaningful progress and influenced the field without displacing the dominant architecture. CDLM could follow the same trajectory, genuinely influential, genuinely useful in certain contexts, but not the replacement story the most enthusiastic coverage implies.
If we're wrong about that skepticism, if CDLM do become the dominant architecture within 5 years, the signal to watch for is a frontier-scale training run that demonstrates measurable quality improvement over comparable autoregressive models on a benchmark suite that covers both fluency and reasoning tasks, not a proof of concept at the research scale. A frontier-scale demonstration. That would be compelling evidence that the architectural advantage is real, not theoretical.
And if we're right that CDLM remain a niche architecture, the signal is continued incremental improvement in autoregressive systems, particularly in their ability to perform what looks like global planning through techniques like chain of thought, extended context, and test-time compute scaling. That narrows the theoretical gap without requiring an architectural replacement. Watch for where the capability improvements actually come from over the next 18 months.